Well, you know, I was thinking while they were singing, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, hear me, church. I find it interesting that children can tell you everything about cartoons and video games and television programs, but they can't tell you anything about God or His Word. And it comes back to us parents. Train, that's where it starts, train up a child in the way he should go. And what does it mean? When he is old, he'll not depart from it. Here's what he means. These kids will never forget that song they just sung. They'll never forget it. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I can remember better the songs I sung as a child and verses I committed to memory than trying to commit something to memory today. Isn't that strange? But it's how it works. And so it's powerful. And by the way, when your children get to be teenagers, you'll be glad that they have something to fall back onto. Amen? Well, today is the last Sunday of this church year. This is not a long message, but I want you to hear from my heart today that, folks, God rewards the faithful. And the key is faithful. That's what God honors. Can you imagine, say like I'm working for this company and you know, I've just sort of been on, you know, I've just sort of been holding things back. I've not been giving my best. I've just been thinking, you know what, I'll give my best when I get promoted. I'll just be sort of lackadaisical. I'll be lazy and laid back. And I'm going to go into the boss and I'm going to say, hey, boss, I know there's a new opening, and if you will put me in that position where I'll make twice as much money, I'll perform twice as good. You know what the boss is going to say? I'm going to let you go for not doing the first job I gave you. Amen? Because you know what? Unless we're faithful in that which is least, we cannot be trusted with that which is more. We want to see God work in all of our lives. You know, people want to see their prayers answered, but they're not willing to be faithful to God. Now, I'm just telling it like it is. They want the blessings of God. They want God's favor, but they don't want to be faithful to God. I'm going to give you some of the crowns of Scripture today because those are rewards. So let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 4:2. We'll start there. 1 Corinthians 4:2 and then Colossians 3:23 and 24 is where I'm going to be preaching from. 1 Corinthians 4:2, let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word. I'm excited about homecoming this year. I want you to be inviting all your, I'm glad one's excited too, and invite all your friends. I'd love to see this church packed out. Amen. This will be the last homecoming that we'll all have to be over there in the old fellowship hall. And wouldn't it be great to be in that building next year for a homecoming and just see what God's going to do. And this homecoming is about what God wants to do. God's going to do something great here. I'm claiming it for this homecoming. And we've set a goal of $10,000, but I personally think we're going to go way over that. I really do. Did you read the thing in Daily Bread this week about building a building for the Lord? Did y'all read that? Larry Nesbitt was reminding me of it, and he said, did you read your devotion this week? I said, every day. And that was a neat devotion. Do you think God's trying to speak to us? By the way, if you don't receive the daily bread, they're free, and they're out there on the Welcome Center. Pick up one today. That's a great resource to help you grow in the Lord. All right, let's read this one. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required, it's a command here, it's required in stewards that a man be found, how? Faithful. And then if you'll turn to Colossians, just real quick, I call Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the General Power, General Electric Power Company. I mean, I'll tell you, all four of these books are slammed full. Colossians' theme is about our completeness in Christ. So let's look at verse 23 of chapter 3. Verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And Father, I pray that that's our heart's theme, that we serve the Lord Christ, that we do what we do as unto the Lord. I pray today, Father, would be a life-defining moment for all of us, that we will understand that What we do now counts for all eternity. I pray for your oil of anointing to be here for every hearer and for me, that you would speak through my mouth the words that need to be heard, nothing more, nothing less. I pray for lives to be changed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, Sharon and I talk about the importance of traveling and so on. We'd like to do this. And one of the things I've often thought I would love to do is go to the Yellowstone National Park. You know, the one thing that I want to see more than anything else at Yellowstone is that certain geyser. You know what it's called? Old Faithful. Now, Old Faithful is not the biggest geyser. There are other geysers there on Yellowstone Park that are more attractive, and there's a lot more going on. But yet, this particular one, Old Faithful, every 65 minutes, it erupts. There it goes. And you can almost set your clock on it. About 170 feet, there's a shaft of boiling water that just comes up out of the earth, and it is the most favorite of all the geysers out there. Old Faithful. You see, faithfulness is a quality, I think, that we all admire. If you don't, you ought to. And I'll tell you why. Faithfulness means everything. God requires it. Let me say this about marriage real quick. God requires it. Are you listening to me? Be faithful to the man you're married to. Be faithful to the woman you're married to. Only the cow sticks his head through the fence thinking it's greener on the other side of the fence. But in country language, and I believe there's a bunch of country folks here, the only place it's greener is over the septic tank. And so oftentimes people think it gets better somewhere else. But you know what? Make your marriage the best it can be by you giving yourself freely to God every day. And by the way, I'll go ahead and tell you the problem is you. You can point your finger at someone else, but it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And we all need prayer in our marriages. We all need God's help. God requires for us to be stewards that are found faithful. I don't care what else, how much ability you have, how much personality you have, how much intelligence you have, how hard you work. If you can't be depended on, friend, you're no good. I didn't get no amens. But you're no good. You're no good to nobody if you can't be depended on. You know, I don't think you realize in the church how serious this is. Do you know one person can make everything else go wrong? I mean, what if the sound guy is not faithful? What if the choir member? I tell you the most serious thing I've heard someone say, and it's happened here before, where the choir prepares a song or a musical, and you've got a person who sings the solo, and the person who sings the solo don't show up, which changes everything about what they're going to do. Now, I'm not griping and complaining, but I want you to understand something. One makes the difference. You want me to prove the power of one? Go back to Adam and Eve. Boy, had they not messed up, if they had not taken that forbidden fruit, we wouldn't be in this fallen world that we're in. But think about the seriousness of your faithfulness. And think about this. One day, I will stand before God. One day, you will stand before God. And we all will give an account. Guess for what? Our faithfulness. Not so much what we did. I mean, you would think that Billy Graham would have a lot of rewards in heaven. Not if he was not faithful, but thank God he was. Amen? You see, it's not so much how much you have or how much you do. It's how faithful you are. You may be a behind-the-scenes person, and no one ever sees what you do. You may be, there may be a person in this church that no one knows about, that's faithful to pray for this church and this preacher every day. Don't you know God's going to reward that just as much as anything else? You see, God knows our hearts, and he knows whether we're faithful or not. If you can't be depended on, you're just no good. What do we mean by faithfulness? Well, integrity, honesty, trustfulness, loyalty. Can you be counted on is what we mean. This is the question which very intimately and importantly concerns us. 1 Corinthians 4:2, notice that it's not required of a steward to be eloquent or to have many gifts, only that he is found faithful. There are so many who will be rewarded someday, not because they did some great thing or had some great gift, but because they were faithful in what they did and how they did it. So I want to say this before I talk about the crown of life. Thank God for those of you who've been faithful for another year to teach Sunday school. Can we give them a hand? Praise the Lord. Thank God for you. By the way, you have no idea if you've never done it. It takes a lot of work to be a Sunday school teacher. Are y'all listening? You have no idea. I mean, if that Sunday school teacher is well prepared, they know their lesson, they've studied the material, it takes hours to prepare to teach a Sunday school lesson. And I'll tell you what, it takes a lot for a choir to get up here and sing. You know what? A lot of folks think, and unto God, I'm going to deal with this crown today, because the Bible says we're to do everything with excellence. When a choir just stands up to sing, that's a disgrace to God if they're not prepared. But I thank God this choir is, I mean, they meet every Sunday night, throughout the year, every Wednesday night. That's called faithfulness. It takes a lot of work. You know, a lot of people come to church and they think it just happens. Nothing just happens, does it? No more than it happens that you work. Many of you folks, you work in a job, and it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of faithfulness to get. There's not a business owner here today that's been successful without being faithful and having people to come along his side that would help him in doing that job. So we need to show appreciation to all those who've served faithfully. Let's talk about the crown of life real quick. The Bible says in Revelation 2:10, if I can talk this morning, Revelation 2:10, I'll get it out. I'm suffering with some sinuses this morning. Bear with me. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thy faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. A crown of life is not salvation. It is reward. The Bible speaks of 5 crowns. This is the crown of life for those who suffer for Christ. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this? Hear me and hear me well. Anytime you do something for Jesus, Satan's going to come against you. I was speaking to Chris coming into the church this morning. He said, this morning has been crazy. Of all Sunday mornings, why does everything have to happen on Sunday morning? I'll tell you why. When you try to do something, even dedicating a baby to the Lord, the devil's going to try to get in the way. Anything you do for the cause of Christ, and you will suffer for the cause of Christ. A lot of people have fallen out of church today because they're not willing to pay the price. There is a price to be paid, and there is a reward to be given. Now, notice this. It says there's a lot of difference here on one word. And by the way, talking about one person, one word can change the meaning of everything. There's a lot of difference between until and unto. He says, be thy faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thy faithful unto death. That is, if it costs you your life, be faithful to Christ. If they cut off your head, be faithful unto death. If they put you in prison, be faithful. If they beat you, you still remain faithful. If they take away all your property and confiscate it, you still remain faithful. Be thy faithful to death. If it costs you your life, I will give thee not life itself. You've already got life in Christ. You already are saved. John 3:36. Be thy faithful to death. And he says, I will give thee the reward, the crown. I'll give thee the crown of life. And that's what the Bible says. You stay with the Bible. There is no such thing in the Bible as being saved and lost, and saved and lost. And there is no such thing in the Bible as a man's salvation depending upon hanging on to Christ. Because when you talk about the crown of life, many people think, well, if I'll just hang on, I mean, if I'll just hang on to the end, I'll make it to heaven. That's not biblical. We don't have a hold of Christ. Christ has a hold of us. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. It's not yours in the first place. The salvation was provided to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says what the Father Jesus said, what the Father had given to me, no man can take from my hand. And so it's the Father holding you. The crown of life is that you remain faithful to the one who gave you this life. Amen? And what is this crown? That you were persecuted, that you were mocked, you were laughed at. I'm trying to teach the children in the new members class, it's okay when they tell you that you're different. I want to be different from the world. Amen? I don't want to fit in with this world. A lot of people are trying to fit in with this world and still serve Christ. That's not being faithful. Being faithful is just like a husband is to his wife, or a wife is to her husband. The Bible says that we're the bride of Christ, and he is the groom, and we're to be faithful to the groom. Amen? We're to be true to him. We're not kept by clinging to God. We're kept by God clinging to us. The thing is turned around in the book, and this is it. Be thy faithful to death if it costs you your life. It's like a martyr's crown. It's the same thing. I will give you the crown of life. How does this work in the church? Well, let's think about time. Many people are living for time and not eternity. God's time is eternity. He is eternal God. Your life is in his hands, whether you acknowledge him or not. A famous preacher has written a book, The Best Life Is Now. If this is the best life now, this must be heaven is what he's thinking, then you know what the alternative is. I don't believe this is the best life now. I believe the best life is yet to come. And I'll tell you, the only thing in this life that really counts, are y'all listening to me, is what you've done with Jesus Christ. We need to be thinking about eternity. The Bible says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Do you know we are living in an evil day? Oh, this is an evil time. So what does it mean to redeem the time? It means to make the most of the time that you have. God's given us all, listen to me carefully, 24 hours a day. And as you're good stewards of that time, God will bless. You want the crown of life? Then you stay faithful to serve the Lord. You make sure you're at Sunday school every Sunday at 10 o'clock. Don't miss that. Don't miss that time. Do you know if you miss one Sunday, it's 2 weeks. Think about it. You missed that Sunday. Well, it's been a week since you were in Sunday school before. It'll be another week before you get there again. We need time with God. Can I get an amen? And if you're not spending time with God, you're not going to be faithful. Are y'all listening? Church, we need to be here. I was thinking this morning, I don't know why this hit me so hard, that we can ask a child, and it's funny how it is that we parents feel like with the children, they can't understand what it means to serve God. But they can tell you everything about a video game. They can tell you everything about, one of them today taught me, I was trying to do that. Let's see, what did he call it? Flossing. He was trying to teach me. You have to dance like you, I can't do it. You know, you got to move your arms. You got to floss yourself. You know, you can tell me how to do it, can't you? Isn't it amazing that kids can tell you all about the stuff that they learn, but if we don't teach them about Jesus, then how are they going to grow in the Lord? We got to spend time with our families, with our children to do this. The crown of life is for those who finish well, who redeem the time. That is, they know to make the most of their time because the days are evil. They're spending time with God. They're not thinking about, I'm just going to eat and drink and be merry for now. Who knows what tomorrow holds? Well, I'll tell you who holds tomorrow. God knows what tomorrow holds, and he also knows your eternity and where you're going to spend it. And then our talent. Now, talent is something that you are born with. I really never liked the idea of the talent sheet. I don't like that word, because what we're trying to do as a church is not only to operate with talents, but we're trying to operate with the gift that God's given you. See, a talent is something you're born with. When you're born again, when you become a Christian, God gives you a spiritual gift. That's the difference. But you do have talents. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful for the men and women of this church who are very talented in things. We got some very smart people here. We really do. And they do a great job, I think, of all the men and the women who help keep the grounds here looking so nice. They do a great job. I appreciate that. They've got the talent to do that. These guys are building this building. They've got the talent to do that. And thank God that people have got talents. But you've got something even more. You've got a spiritual gift from God, and you need to discover it and operate it in it. You want that crown of life. By the way, there are going to be some very, 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 listen to me carefully, there are going to be some poor people in heaven. There are some rich people down here because they spend all their time and their talent, and the next word is treasure. They spend it all down here, and they didn't send nothing up there. The only thing that will last for all eternity is what you've done with Christ. You say, oh, that's just preaching. That preaching, you're just preaching. Oh, you wait and see. You just wait and see, buddy. In heaven, there are going to be some poor people. You say, wait a minute, I thought the streets of gold and their mansions. Listen, I believe there are degrees in heaven and I believe there are degrees in hell. And God judges accordingly. And he who has been faithful, I believe God's going to reward. He's going to give him the crown of life. The time, the talent, the treasure. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doeth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Let me tell you something. This life will soon be past. But only what we've done with the time, the talent, the treasure God's given us will determine the rewards. And so we want God's blessing. By the way, these rewards, I believe, start down here. And I'm going to prove that to you right now. We're going to talk about not only the crown of life, but the cost of love. Now, I'm fixing to get into an area that y'all are going to get uncomfortable about. I read this story this week. If you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that hollers is the one that the rock hit, okay? So if the rock hits you, and I hear someone hollering, I'll know. In fact, what I mean by that is if someone gets upset. Usually someone gets upset. By the way, what did the cost of love cost God? Everything. For God, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Colossians 3:23, let's start. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. God's love for us cost him everything. Our God is a loving, giving God. There is a great reward for giving out of a heart of love. We love to give because he first loved and he gave. We are most like God when we give. Amen? How are we to give? Well, we're to give faithfully. How do you want God to give to you? We're still talking. I mean, you know, you never stop parenting. And so my son called the other day and Sherry was talking to him and he said, Mom, do I tithe before taxes or after taxes? And she gave it back to him. She said, well, how do you want the Lord to bless you? Do you want the Lord to bless you before taxes or after taxes? Well, that's a given. Amen. I mean, it's funny. I'll tell you, when Faye, and you know, preachers can get under conviction too. When she said you ought to round off the figure, man, the Holy Spirit hit me and said, why aren't you rounding off? That makes good sense what Faye taught us. Amen. You want God to give you to the penny, or do you want to just God give you a round off figure? Man, I want to round that booger up, amen? I want God's full blessing. Why hold anything back? But give faithfully. My God shall supply. Now, this is why you should give faithfully. The cost of love. Give faithfully. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If we need the condition, give faithfully, God will fulfill his part and supply our need. So the first point is you give faithfully, Johnny. So what is faithful giving? All right, and moving on to point number two. You give joyfully. 1 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth, what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. When you love someone, it's pure joy to give to that particular person something special. When you truly do love them, it's a joy to give to them. You give from the heart. And I'll illustrate that in just a minute. Then you give heartily, the Bible says. Right here in Colossians, it tells us that we're to do what we do from the heart. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, and boy, does this speak to us as a church. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I was in the vision meeting up at Village the other day, and I was with our team. And they said, Pastor, how many people do you think tithe in our church? And I said, less than half. And one of them spoke up and said, you got to be kidding me. I said, no. I said, I more than likely that's about true. So what does that say? It says a lot where our treasure is. Because a lot of people don't ever give God anything. And then we wonder, where is God's blessing? It always comes back to the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Suppose I gave my wife a gift on Valentine's Day. How would she feel if I said, I didn't really want to, but I haven't gotten you anything for quite a while, and I was feeling kind of guilty. I know that our neighbor got his wife something, and I know it's my duty as your husband to give you something. I know my wife better than y'all do. She would not be happy. That would not be well pleasing to Sherry. But I'll tell you what works with Sherry. If I say, darling, if all I got to use is that word, darling, you deserve even more than I can give. But I love you so much that I was thinking of how much you mean to me when I bought this. The very same gift would be appreciated as well pleasing to her. You see, it's all a matter of the heart. And I'm going to say it like it is, because I'm gonna get done early today. Where your heart is what counts. I don't believe in getting up here begging, pleading for people to give, give, give. You know why? You get your heart right and you will give. Amen. The problem is not your pocketbook. The problem is your heart. I can already, you know, you ought to be up here. Sometimes it gets sort of squirmy in church. Y'all notice that? And you know, it hurts, but I love you enough to give you the whole counsel of God. Because you see, I believe with all my heart that you can take things to heaven with you. Oh yeah. You know how? By giving to the cause of Christ, I believe that will be rewarded in heaven. In fact, there's a scripture that says 100-fold. Jesus told his disciples, they said, well, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. It all up to follow you. And Jesus said in heaven, it will be 100-fold. That's 1,000%. I'm telling you something. God rewards those who are faithful to him. And then third, and I'm done, the children of the Lord. You see in Colossians 3:25, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I want to talk about the crown of righteousness. The Bible says, knowing that of the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me of that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Well, Pastor, wouldn't everybody love the appearing of the Lord? Oh, my soul, I don't think so. Hardly anybody would really love the appearing of the Lord. You say, well, preacher, how do you come to that conclusion? Well, suppose, I'm not a date setter. The Bible says you can't set a date. But what if we were to say, the Lord's coming tomorrow at 12 o'clock? Did you know that would upset a lot of people? I mean, for sure, that would just, I mean, the stock market would go crazy. Just think about it. Think of all the terror that it would strike into the hearts of men. There's the gambler. What's he going to do about his gambling? There's the bootlegger and the dope pusher. What's he going to do about bootlegging and his dope? And there's all the nightclub life. What are they going to do about their strip teasing and all about their drunkenness and their dancing? What about the terror that would happen in this world, if it was a sure thing that the Lord would come tomorrow at 12 o'clock, look up here, church, he could. Amen. He could. Some of us are so worried about life here that we just cannot think about life for all eternity. The crown of righteousness is really about loving the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but the older I get, I believe the more I love it. I love the idea that one day that horn's going to toot and I'm going to scoot. I'm out of here. I believe he's coming in a twinkling of an eye. He's going to come so fast. I tell you, and I don't know what you believe. I know there's some people here that believe different than I do, and that's okay for you to be wrong. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe the next thing to happen is for the Lord to come. I do. I believe I'm out of here. And I don't believe, I refuse to believe this. And some of you do, I know, that you're going to go through the 7 years of tribulation. I don't believe I'm going to go through 7 years of tribulation as a recipient of the grace of God. Why would God put me through 7 years of wrath? That would serve no purpose. I believe the crown of righteousness is for those who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm like John on the island of Patmos, who said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Are you ready? He's coming quicker than you think. When I was a little kid, children, I don't know if y'all still play hide and seek, but y'all still do that? Boy, that's been around. I used to love that. And I remember saying, 98, 99... ready or not, here I come. I'm telling you, where we are as a nation, we're at 99.
That's right.
We're at 99. I believe it all my heart. You can believe what you want to believe, but this is what I believe. You say, "Preacher, you really are crazy." I have no plans for a funeral for me. I haven't ever bought a plot. I don't have a casket because I don't believe I'm ever going to see. I'm not going to need one. You say, "How do you believe?" Because I believe he's coming before I'll ever be buried into the ground. You say, "Well, how is it going to happen, preacher?" Well, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who remain, man, I'm just going to go up right after them. I'd love to be doing a funeral. I'd like to be standing in a cemetery and see all those graves open. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be cool. You say, "Preacher, look up here. This is really going to happen." But we don't live like he's coming again. Hello, preacher. We live as though we're going to be here for how many more years? Did you know if we're here 100 years, that's nothing compared to eternity?
Amen.
That's nothing. Paul said life is but a vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow. And then there's the soul winner's crown. There are five crowns in Scripture. We've talked about two of them. The soul winner's crown. The Bible says, "Ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." In the First Thessalonian letter, you look at it, in the second chapter, it says that you will receive a crown of rejoicing. What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? That is the crown of rejoicing is the one that souls were saved. You know, I've been thinking about people getting saved in our church. There ought to be more joy about it, because I'm telling you something, folks. The Bible says the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that is saved. Now, think with me a moment, and this is my heart's desire. I've upset some people that's asked me, "Preacher, what is your heart's desire for Gorge Springs Baptist Church?" And I had a man get upset with me in my office one day over there because I said, "My heart's desire is that our church would be a soul-winning church." Let me ask you something, without being sacrilegious. If you were God and you gave your son to die on a cruel tree for the sins of mankind, which church would you bless? A church that's just saved and satisfied, sitting there doing nothing, just a maintenance church, becoming a museum? Or would you bless the church that's out winning the lost to Christ?
Amen.
I'll tell you what church you'd bless if you were God. You'd bless the church winning soul. Look up here, folks. God will have no problem using this church to do great ministry if we're about soul winning. And the reward starts right here. You know, one of the greatest joys I've ever had in my entire life is leading a lost person to Christ. To think that God would use a soul winner to keep a person out of hell. Now, I know God does the saving, but I enjoy telling him how to get there. Amen? You say, "Well, preacher, I just don't have that kind of boldness." Yes, you do. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about Jesus.
Amen?
You can do it. All you got to do is quote John 3:16. There was a man in my last church, he couldn't read a bit, but he could quote John 3:16, and guess what? He was one of our best soul winners. All you got to do is just share the hope that you have in Christ. You got a testimony. You can tell someone else. For ye are our glory and our joy, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. That's the soul winner's crown. What is our crown of rejoicing when the Lord Jesus appears, when he comes? What is it? This is it. You whom have been won to the Lord, you are our glory and our joy, Paul said. The crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown, you. Won you to the Lord, introduce you to Jesus, and now the crown of rejoicing that you go out and tell someone else. That's discipleship. Discipleship is not coming to church just so everything up like a spiritual sponge. It's taking that sponge and spreading it all over and telling others about Jesus. I'll tell you, the problem in the average Baptist church is that we're just soaking it all up, but we're not doing nothing with it. We're to give it out. Why did God save you? So someone else could be saved. If not, why did he take you to heaven the day you got saved? Last, and I'm done, the victor's crown. The victor's crown. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Now they do it, the Bible says, to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That's the victor's crown. He uses the illustration of the Greek games. Whenever a man strives in any kind of athletic contest, he prepares for it. He goes through rigorous training. There's all kinds of diets. The football season is about to start. And these guys have been working all summer long to get their bodies in condition. They've been exercising. They've been working out and doing the things they need to get ready for the season. Here's the victor's crown. Listen to me carefully, church. Do what you do as unto the Lord, because he is Lord and he is King. Do it with excellence. That's the victor's crown. I'll tell you, half-hearted worship is a disgrace to God. Amen. God says you worship me in spirit and truth. Doing something with the leftovers, oh, God's going to judge that. Don't give God your leftovers. Give God your best. Amen. God made it very clear in his word. When you bring a sacrifice, you bring the best of your crop. You bring the best of your animal. God deserves our best. I said God deserves our best. Amen. We give our best at work. We look our best at work. We want to do our best at work. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully before we give the invitation. You're going to be rewarded with more wages than you ever dreamed in heaven than you ever received on this earth. Because the word reward means wages. I believe with all my heart God wants to bless his children. I believe God wants to honor those who are faithful. So church, let it be said of us that we did things at our best. I'm not saying that we're not comparing ourselves to anybody else. Just do your best for the Lord Jesus. You know why? Listen carefully. He's worthy. He's worthy. He gave his best, did he not? He gave his all, his precious darling son, Jesus. God loved you so much. So the victor's crown is when we give God our all. God will reward the fact that we do ministry with excellence. Excellence is for the King. Give your best to the Master. Oh, come, all ye faithful. This is the invitation. I've decided to follow Jesus. The Badoes said today, for our children, we've decided to follow Jesus. Now, let me tell you, Chris and Ashley, because my heart breaks, and I'm really getting sort of weary doing baby dedications when parents don't understand that they've got to be faithful. Okay, so Chris and Ashley, we as a church hold you accountable. You be faithful to bring these children up in the Lord. Because it's a dangerous thing to make a commitment to God and in front of a whole church and not do it. I got Bibles up here right now, left from the last baby dedication, and I've been wanting to give out to parents, but they're not here today. God's not going to honor baby dedication if we're not going to be faithful. Amen. Parents, you got to be faithful. You're committing yourself. I have decided to follow Jesus, and there is no turning back. There is none. You'll be glad that you follow Jesus all the way into heaven. And I'll tell you something, heaven is a place of great reward. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. By the way, If there were no rewards at all, look up here, wouldn't it be worth it all just to be with Jesus? Let's all stand for our closing prayer. We're going to sing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus." Father, we've got a decision to make. It's up to us as individuals whether we're going to be faithful. It's so easy to be lackadaisical. It's so easy to just be hit and miss. Church, once in a while, whenever it's convenient. But God, you called us to be stewards that are found faithful. And you require that of us. You didn't say no ifs and buts about it. You said it is required that your children, your stewards, be found faithful. And Lord, I don't know, I don't have to answer for anyone else here. But I pray that you'll help me to be faithful and finish well. And help me to do what I do with excellence. To do it as unto the Lord, not to man. Father, this is your church. These are your people. As we give this invitation today, Lord, I'm thankful that you're a God of forgiveness. And you'll forgive us for our unfaithfulness if we'll repent of it and turn away from it. So God, help people today to realize that there is hope. I pray that they'll not beat themselves up, but they'll just simply say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, I have not been as faithful as I should, but I want to turn to you now, and I want to recommit myself to be your servant and to be faithful. God, if there's someone here today that don't know Jesus and pardon and forgiveness of sin, I pray that they'll decide to follow Jesus today. Lord, it's a decision that each of us make, and I pray that if there's someone here today, you're convicting them, you're drawing them to yourself, I pray that they'll come. There's someone that's been thinking about being a part of this church, and they want to join this church today. I pray that they'll make that decision today, because tomorrow is not promised, and time is of the essence. I pray that we'll give you our best right now at this invitation as we praise you for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.